Today on Vox Talks Economics, is Davos a boondoggle? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So remember, subscribe, follow us on Instagram as well.
We're talking presidents, prime ministers, and other VIPs rubbing elbows with titans of industry, powerful CEOs, celebrities, entrepreneurs, and activists, all building relationships and closing the deal.
Davos, the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum, is attended by thousands of business and policy VIPs every year. It is one of those events that always pops up on the news. We see photos and newsreel video of multinational CEOs shaking hands with world leaders or taking part in panel discussions on the future of, well, the future of everything, really.
In this tiny village, at any given moment, you could bump into the head of Google, the Prime Minister of India, Prince William, even a Nobel laureate.
Its founder, Klaus Schwab, says that the forum's a platform for shaping a better future. Not everyone agrees, and Niall Ferguson once called it an orgy of virtue signalling. But how valuable is it to the business people who actually attend? Does Davos create business value, or might it be a high-profile way for those people who attend to ski and party? In the words of a new discussion paper that asks this question, is it a boondoggle? Andreas Fuchs of the University of Göttingen is one of the authors. He joins me now. Andreas, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Andreas, explain to us what Davos actually is, what its purpose is.
Yes, so first, when you ask me what Davos is, I need to reply it's a municipality in Switzerland, in the canton of Graubünden. I would say it's roughly 2 hours from Zurich. But what you probably have in mind, and most people outside of Switzerland have in mind when they talk about Davos, then it's the World Economic Forum, and it's the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum, which takes place in Davos and brings together roughly 3,000 of the world's most powerful business leaders.
Yeah. Oh, why does it actually happen in Davos? And how long has it been happening in Davos?
So how long? It started in 1971.
Wow.
As a European Management Forum. Now it has, of course, global ambitions. And why Switzerland? Why Davos? So first, this neutrality for such a gathering. And then it's also, of course, a very nice location. I don't know whether you have already been there or in the area.
I have indeed. It's very beautiful. Very cold,
very
but very beautiful.
And it's isolated from daily distractions and people can focus on the topics. But of course, also it's nice for skiing and hiking.
Yes. Now, if you are one of these business leaders and you go to Davos, what do you do while you're there? What are you doing day to day?
The main purpose, of course, is to attend panel discussions, give speeches, have closed-door sessions on various topics. And what happens are not just sessions themselves. It's also that you meet people on the corridor and there are a lot of informal conversations. For our purposes, we are very much interested in potential business deals that get agreed on, or business leaders meeting with political leaders.
Now, it's a pretty high-profile event. Is it expensive to go to Davos?
Yes, absolutely. It's very hard to get official information because it really depends also on the membership scheme your company has. But just to give you a range, a membership fee is between 60,000 and 600,000 Swiss francs, and then additional costs per participant, maybe 20,000. So there are some estimates who say, yes, it's more than $1 million per year for some companies. Then, accommodation. It's really expensive, which is why we got interested in the question whether there's a return on these high costs on this investment.
Well, let's have a look at your research into whether Davos is value for money in a second.
Is it possible for us to discover some bigger meaning for our work? That's the idea one multinational had with a training program called Find Your Purpose. Oriana Bandiera of the London School of Economics was one of a team of economists who evaluated whether it made employees happier and more productive. And along the way, she found her purpose too. Listen to our episode, Finding Meaning at Work, from June 2025.
Okay, so Andreas, Davos doesn't directly exist to create sales. Is it right to think of it as some sort of giant trade show for firms?
Executives attend for networking, business development, informal lobbying, so maybe like a trade show, as you said. But of course, yeah, you can also meet high-level politicians, other decision makers. The question is whether all this pays off.
Okay, so if we're going to measure that financial value of attending, what you're attempting to do here, what indicators can you use and why would you employ them?
First, we use stock market performance. So both the annual excess returns, but also very short-term measures we have. So the daily abnormal returns around the event itself. Mm-hmm. So on the days of the event and the following week. If investors believe that the attendance creates value, we should observe positive stock market price movements. So whether you look on the days of the meeting or at the end of the year. The other measure that we use is long-term issuer credit ratings from the big US-based credit agencies. If you believe that this membership, the attendance at the World Economic Forum pays off, we should also observe an improved risk profile, and rating agencies should notice.
So also to do this, you need to discover who is attending each year. For some of the attendees, it's not difficult because you can see them on the stage giving their opinions or making their speeches, but that's not everybody that's there. How easy is it to find this information?
This was one of the challenges we faced when undertaking this research. So it's possible to find partial participants lists on the web, and we collected what we could get. There's also a journalist from the news website Quartz, and he also collected some data. We put all this together, but then also had to match this to companies. And companies change over time. So think of Google. Yeah, now it's part of Alphabet. So these were also the obstacles we faced. Altogether, we have 11,000 individuals from almost 5,000 different organizations.
The big question, how is stock market performance influenced by attendance at Davos?
Yes, so we turn to our paper's results, which I should have mentioned already is together with Andy Rose and Sebastian Loyer.
Oh, yeah.
So the big result is there's no systematic impact on stock prices, neither at the end of the year nor around the meeting itself. Negative, insignificant coefficient across all specifications. You look at attendance or number of delegates, weight companies by market value, we see no evidence of positive returns.
Okay, so let's turn instead to the impact on the credit ratings. What is the impact on the credit rating?
Again, no evidence that credit rating agencies view Davos attendance as improving their creditworthiness. We also did a lot of robustness checks. The only thing where we find a bit is for the first-time attendees, but the effects are very small. So credit agencies usually measure their ratings on a 21-point scale, and we only observe an increase by 0.4%, but these results are not really robust. So overall, bad news from shareholder perspective.
Okay, so we've got two null results here. You also measuring the impact on corporate social responsibility. Why are you going in that direction?
Because, as I mentioned, the forum started as a management forum, but over time it shifted its rhetoric away from shareholder primacy towards shareholder capitalism. So it's not just about profit, it's also about contributing to social and environmental goals. Hmm. If you look at the annual themes of Davos, of the World Economic Forum, it's something like stakeholders for a cohesive and sustainable world. And we wanted to find out whether in this area there's a measurable effect. So what we did is we took ESG scores. ESG stands for Environmental, Social and Governance scores, to see whether we can find anything. So if the World Economic Forum is serious about promoting CSR, we should observe something on ESG ratings.
Yes, this emphasis on CSR, ESG, I think it's rather what's behind Niall Ferguson's comment on it, of virtual signaling.
Yes.
What is the impact here?
Here we actually find positive evidence.
Aha.
So we see a positive effect on the overall ESG score of 0.82% on the 0 to 100 scale. And then we dig deeper. Where is it coming from? So we looked at the subscores, and it's driven by the social subscore, mm-hmm. where we find an increase of 1.7 points. Yeah. And then we can look further into it. And we have sub-dimensions in this ESG score, and we find something for human rights, community engagement, and product responsibility.
Normally around this time in a Vox Talks podcast, I'd be saying, now, how confident are you in the causal effects here? But well, seeing as we have a causal non-effect for most of this, let's focus on ESG. How confident are you that Davos is causing this effect?
If it's no natural experiment, we can never be 100% sure. Mm-hmm. We are confident enough that we can establish causality, or at least come close to causality. Why? Because we have several methods and we come to the same result. So we start with firm fixed effects, sector year, country year fixed effects to compare the same company's performance in years when it attends Davos versus when it doesn't. Then we have the annual and daily event study, also including a synthetic control approach. So with a doppelganger companies, where we match treated firms with synthetic counterparts. And we also use the recent heterogeneous treatment effects models, Sun and Abraham, Calloway and Santana, Chase Matern, Dodd-Ferry estimators, and we get the same result. So this at least makes us confident that we come close to causal effects and our results are robust.
Kudos to you on the length that you've gone to establish causality here. So in economic terms, does this imply that for a profit-maximizing firm, attending Davos is basically a deadweight loss?
Yes. So from pure shareholder value perspective, here, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we find no positive effects on stock market performance, nothing on credit ratings. There are these huge costs, fees, travel, accommodation. But if a firm is interesting in broader stakeholder outcomes, so social responsibility we mentioned, Davos may offer value in non-financial dimensions.
If we then assume that the people who are leading these firms are rational, then with such small or invisible effects, why does Davos still exist?
This is the puzzle that motivated our research. So some possibilities. One we haven't mentioned so far because our study is a firm-level analysis. But of course, so there might be private benefits
Aha.
to individuals attending Davos. Access to elite circles, so personal prestige. You can tell your colleagues, I was selected this year to go to Davos. You can use it for career advancement because you meet other companies, CEOs, mm-hmm. and maybe this gives you a job. So these are things we don't measure at the firm level. We have no evidence on this, but this is a clear possibility why individuals like going something like a mm-hmm. non-financial salary that employees get sent to Davos.
I think that is a distinct possibility. But also, at the firm level, are there perhaps soft benefits, long-run benefits that you're not capturing in this data? So if it's setting the tone for innovation or regulation, maybe this isn't obvious to be measured immediately, but there's still a benefit for being there. Is that possible?
There might be benefits that only pay off after a couple of years. And there we need to be clear, need to acknowledge that this is probably impossible to measure. So, of course, companies can set the tone for regulations, for future policies if they interact with political decision makers. And when this pays off, this is very hard to pin down. So this can take years if you want to influence or first to coordinate among lobbyists on an industry standard, yeah, and then lobby also the political decision makers. Yeah, this shaping the conversation over years, I think we need to say hard to measure.
Based on this evidence, you seem to be coming down on the side that Davos is primarily a boondoggle. If it ceased to exist tomorrow, what's your opinion on how the world of business would be different?
Based on our findings, the immediate business impact would likely be minimal. Companies would save money, obviously, and executives would find other networking venues. Can these conversations take place through less expensive channels? Of course, but we need to acknowledge that there might be subtle effects on global coordination, dialogue we are not measuring. The current geoeconomic and geopolitical challenges, conversations are important.
As you say, the stakes are high at the moment, so let's hope that those conversations that happen at the next Davos are important and are beneficial. But Andreas, thank you very much for talking about it to me.
Thanks a lot.
If you want to read this paper, it's enormously entertaining. It is discussion paper 20186, Is Davos More Than a Boondoggle? And the authors, as Andreas mentioned, Andreas Fuchs, Sebastian Lawyer, and Andrew Rose.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next time on Vox Talks Economics, is AI fake news undermining trust in mainstream media?